Gasoline taxes used to cover the cost of maintaining our roads, but then cars got more fuel efficient, markedly so when hybrids and straight electrics hit the road. They can go right past gas stations, not only not filling up gas tanks, but not refilling the treasury with road repair money. The federal government and states have been watching the situation for some time now, with a general focus on finding ways for vehicles to pay some tax or fee for per mile use of roads. But how to collect the information on which the fee is based and the fee itself, still up in the air. Oregon is moving ahead with another test of such a system, and there's an opportunity for people to volunteer to be part of the test. Michelle Godfrey is with ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation, Public Information Officer, and our guest on The Exchange. Michelle, welcome.
Good morning, Jeffrey. How are you?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Great.
So what is the recent history of both gas tax revenue and driver miles? What are the trends there?
Well, we've been studying a per-mile charge for about 14 years now. We started in 2001 when the legislature identified this trend that, you know, hybrid and electric vehicles were going to become more and more popular. And not only that, but gas-powered vehicles are getting far more fuel efficient. Just in the past 9 years, their efficiency has increased 25%, which is really dramatic. And that's only going to increase when the CAFE standards come into play. By the year 2025, all new vehicles have to achieve 54.5 MPG, it really spells trouble for the transportation fund and road maintenance when we rely on the gas tax.
So at the time that the legislature first identified this, it was already on the slide?
I'm sorry, what?
Was the gas tax already sliding by the time the legislature began addressing this in 2000?
It was really starting to decline in the 1990s. And so they recognized that trend and established the Road User Fee Task Force and challenged them with finding an alternative, testing it, and ultimately designing a new system to replace the gas tax. And that's what we have today.
The Road User Fee Task Force. Is Rough Tough what you people call the acronym there?
Yeah, we like our acronyms.
So what I understand is not just about the gas tax declining itself, but also about the fact that people are driving fewer miles. Is that part of it, too?
Well, it might contribute to it, but even though people drive fewer miles, which is great, people are using more public transportation and taking alternative transportation modes, but population is continuing to increase. So even though individuals may drive less, overall vehicle miles traveled is generally increasing.
All right. So what have been the previous attempts then to figure out ways to counteract this, ways to do the per mile fee?
Well, there were a number of alternatives considered by the Rough Tough and also by other states. Tolling is a popular one, but it's very expensive to implement, and it's not really fair. It really only applies to those roadways where the tolls are collected. To apply it elsewhere doesn't seem really fair to those drivers who are, you know, paying on the major tollways, and then the other roads don't benefit. Then there's just raise the gas tax, which only aggravates the unfairness of the gas tax as it is right now, in which, you know, some individuals who get low MPG are bearing the greatest burden for funding transportation, whereas someone else who drives an electric vehicle perhaps is not paying anything into the system. So the per mile charge really meets the best user pays principle, we call it, where you pay exactly for what you use, and it does make it more fair across the board. We looked at other things too, such as a tire tax, a battery tax, things that are associated with road use, but they're not really a direct representation, a direct proxy for what people actually use. If you actually pay a per mile charge, that's pretty direct.
It seems like the tire tax might have gotten you somewhere, though, because it seems like the more you drive, the more you're going to wear your tires out, and you'll need to replace them more often.
Yeah, it sounds intuitively right, but you know, a lot of things contribute to tire wear, depending on the conditions that you're driving in, your driving habits, and even just the tires themselves, quality of the tires, some wear out faster than others. So it's not really a precise proxy for road use.
And so what were some of the discoveries, because there have been at least two trials thus far, is that right?
That's right. We had two pilot projects, one in 2007 and one in 2013. The first one was what we call a closed system. It was entirely run by ODOT, and it was, you know, a pay-at-the-pump model. it generally didn't work because people were very concerned about privacy. They didn't necessarily like the fact that government would be running the system. So for the 2013 pilot, we totally redesigned it as an open system where we invite the private sector to come in and manage accounts and produce the technology and basically do everything for the system. And ODOT provides the standards by which all of the vendors would operate so that we have a consistency across the board as far as services. And that seemed to allay a lot of the concerns for privacy in that people would now have options for the type of the device that would count their miles and then report their miles. They could have GPS in it, which would make it more convenient. They could choose not to have GPS if they were concerned about that. And they could even do other types of reporting. So having choices in the device, having choices in who manages your account, whether it's the private sector vendor or ODOT, all these things make it a lot more acceptable to folks.
Given the relatively explosive growth of technology between 2007 and 2013, were there a lot more options available for the 2013 pilot project than there were just 6 years before?
Yes. Well, that was the interesting thing about the first pilot is that the smartphone was introduced in 2007, just as our pilot was ending. And so we didn't have participants who were maybe as comfortable with, you know, smartphone-type technology and using GPS in their daily lives for value-added services. Now a lot of people have them, and there's a lot more familiarity with how it works and an understanding that actually having a GPS device can make my life more convenient. And so we attribute that to the second pilot's improved success.
We're talking to Michelle Godfrey at ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation. She's a public information officer. We are talking about the concept of road user fees to replace gasoline taxes as a way to fund road repairs in the state of Oregon. Oregon and obviously all the other states dealing with the fact that as cars get better gas mileage, they pay less in gas taxes. That means there's less money available for road repair. Call us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 around the listening area, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Pam and Dexter. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Michelle Godfrey.
Hi. Well, I just think it would be really unfair to have a flat gas mileage or mileage tax because when we were doing research on Carbon Butte gravel mining, we found out that the gravel trucks are worse than logging trucks, and the more a vehicle weighs, the more damage it does to the car. I mean, it's almost exponentially worse. So it seems like, in a way, we would be subsidizing the mining and logging industry if it was the same amount for every vehicle per mile. So if you're going to do the mileage, I think it should be according to the weight. So let's say a lighter weight vehicle would be 1 cent and, you know, a gravel mining truck would be 3 cents or something like that, because it really would be unfair to have it the same for all weight vehicles when the heavier vehicles do the most damage.
All right,
listen on the radio.
Thanks for that, Pam. Appreciate it. Is there some provision in the plans thus far, the pilots thus far, Michelle, for making different allowances for different weights of vehicles?
No, not in the pilot, or not in this upcoming program to launch July 1, but a lot of people don't realize that truckers pay weight mile tax, and they actually subsidize light vehicles by paying for a huge portion of road maintenance. Vehicles that are under 10,000 pounds, which this trial will apply to, generally impact the road in about the same amounts. All of our research shows that there's very little difference between, say, an F-150 pickup truck and a Prius in terms of how much they actually impact the road. And honestly, some of the electric vehicles weigh a lot more than even a pickup truck because the batteries are just so heavy. But even so, the differences are so minute that it really wouldn't make much sense to differentiate the rate for passenger vehicles. But large vehicles and, you know, freight truckers already pay the weight mile tax, which is actually a per mile charge for them.
And that's for the dump trucks that Pam mentioned, the log trucks, et cetera?
I believe they qualify, yeah.
Okay. Let's take another call. We have Grumpy John and Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Michelle Godfrey from ODOT. We're talking about user fees for road use.
Well, since you have been studying this for 14 years, I would imagine you would be able to tell us right now what the actual wear is of the different weight vehicles, one, and two, the actual wear of different weight vehicles with studs. I mean, for 14 years you've been looking at this, and you should be able to tell us right now what the difference in road wear is. When you can get a car tire that's going to give you 30,000 miles of guaranteed safe tread, that tire is not wearing the roads down anywhere near as much as a heavier truck, especially a commercial truck. So what is the actual road wear measurements based on the different weights of vehicles, please?
And let's get the studs in there, too, because I figured somebody would ask about that. Thanks for that, Grumpy John. Michelle?
Well, I wish I could be smart enough to answer that question. I don't have the research myself and have not performed that research, but I bet if you went into the ODOT website and just did a search for road wear, there would be a recent report out there as to what different vehicles cause. And certainly, you know, studded tires cause pretty significant damage, and that's an issue, although it would be separate from the road usage charge program.
Based on the current math, do we know how much an average driver pays in gas taxes over the course of a year?
Wow, that varies widely, but you could calculate that yourself. Take the total miles that you travel per year, divide that by your average MPG, you get your total fuel used, multiply that by 0.3 or 30 cents per gallon, and that's what you pay in gas tax. Now, to compare that to what you might pay in road usage charge, you take, again, the total miles traveled during the year, multiply that by 0.015 or 1.5 cents per mile, and you can compare the two. Just to give you an idea, the break-even point would be about a vehicle that gets 20 MPG, depending on how many miles they drive.
All right. So as I look at it, I mean, this is just to do the roughest math possible, 14,000 miles a year. If you go 10 miles a gallon, you're going to go about 1,000 miles. So about $300 for that car for the year, obviously less for most people. Your mileage will actually be less probably. So, I mean, are we talking about making any road user fee revenue neutral, or are we trying to bring in more money with this?
Well, over time, since, you know, vehicles are decreasing in paying gas tax, we're trying to make up that gap. It's hard to say how that would increase over in the future. You know, likely the rate would be considered for an increase at some point. But it was designed for this initial launch to be neutral with the gas tax. So the rate was chosen to most closely approximate what most people pay in gas tax.
Okay, let's take another call here. Shane in Ashland, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Michelle Godfrey.
Good morning. I hate to jump on the bandwagon and kind of beat you up on your science, but, being an owner of a Prius C and a Toyota 4Runner, the Prius C is half the weight, just to let you know, of batteries and everything that my Toyota 4Runner is. And definitely does less damage to the road than a Toyota 4Runner or, say, an F-150 or any of those. Lighter the vehicle, the less damage to the roadway. It's pretty much undisputed science. I don't understand why, after 14 years, there's any question on that. And I just think the whole process of saying we're not going to tax higher on the gasoline so that it's somehow unfair for people who drive a Suburban or a Nissan Titan or something giant around that beats up on the roads more and does more damage to the environment and other things. I just think it's pretty backwards thinking to invent this whole new wheel instead of just raising the gas tax and encouraging people to do the right thing, which is switching to alternative fuels and switching to lighter, smaller vehicles. And so it encourages people to do the right thing, whereas now we're trying to even the playing field so that somehow people that are doing the right thing for the environment and for the world and for our economy are now the ones getting beat up on, or now it's evened up to where
all right,
I'm
so Shane, first of all, we're getting short on time. Second of all, I want to be clear where you're coming from. Are you talking about no gas tax, or are you talking about sticking
with... I'm talking about raising the gas tax makes way more sense.
So no user fee?
A pilot program. A user fee is a silly idea. It should be punishing the people who drive the most, use the most fuel. That's the way our environment and everything, every other science is going that direction. That's okay. The whole reason why we're inventing Prius C.
All right, let's get a response. Thanks for that, Shane. Michelle?
Yeah, well, we certainly want to encourage purchase of, you know, fuel-efficient vehicles. That's, you know, part of the whole point of the CAFE standards and encouraging that. There are certainly incentives out there. I would suggest that, you know, an individual purchases a highly fuel-efficient vehicle saves a dramatic amount in just purchasing gas. They don't have to go to the gas pump as much. I had an example of one Prius owner recently. He said he saves about $7,500 a year in gas because he doesn't purchase it as often. And his per-mile charge, even having a hybrid vehicle at the higher end, would only pay about $300 a year. And he said, well, in comparison, that's not so bad. So, you know, it depends on your perspective. It's really about, are you paying for what you use? And if every vehicle pays the same rate, then at least you know that it's across the board the same for every vehicle. Whereas today, you know, some individuals who perhaps are buying used cars, low-income individuals who are in the secondary market, maybe purchasing a 1980 Ford or something that gets 10 mpg, they're having to not only pay for more gas, but also pay a lot more gas tax, and this is an individual that's least likely to afford it. So
It's regressive, in other words.
Well, I don't know about that. It would be unfair to any individual for one reason or another, but is it the most fair across the board for all Oregonians, and is it the most appropriate tax? Now, not to say that different rates could be considered down the road for different weight vehicles. That might be something the legislature would look at. And certainly we do have to raise the gas tax in the short term just to make up the shortage of funding that we have. So,
Michelle, how do people volunteer for this pilot project?
Well, we'd love people to go to roadchargeoregon.org. That's roadchargeoregon.org. There, if you click on Contact Us, there's a form there you can fill out and sign up to be a volunteer.
Available through our website at jeffexchange.org and our Facebook page as well. Michelle Godfrey is with ODOT, the Oregon Department of Public Transportation, as a public information officer. Thanks so much for joining us today to talk about road user fees.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Good to have you. And that'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. Hour number two, we'll talk about Adam Smith, the Invisible Hand Guy. How Adam Smith Can Change Your Life is a book by Russ Roberts coming up.